I'm sorry about the unpleasantries, but that's that. Revelation chapter 13. It is rough in the wintertime with the fuel oil and all that stuff. It's just unbelievably expensive. How much that thing costs to keep this place warm. Could I get a bottle of water? Somebody, anybody, they're downstairs by the heater there, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 13, exciting portion of Scripture here. Real exciting. We're getting into the beast here, and I want to show you some things, and I'll just warn you ahead of time, this stuff is not what will help you as a Christian grow in the Lord in respect of this, in respect of your family, in respect of your personal walk. What we're going to get into tonight is not something that you're going to say, wow, this is going to make me a better husband. All right? Some people get so caught up in this stuff that it becomes everything that they are. You ever meet somebody that all they ever want to talk about is the Bilderbergers and the Masons and the devil and demons and demon possession, and it's just like, oh my goodness, man. Would you back off? Don't get so wrapped up in what we're going to look at tonight that it becomes your obsession. Amen? You understand that? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Look at him. He knows me. He brought two, not just one. Thank you. So this stuff ought not become our obsession as believers. Our obsession ought to be Jesus Christ. Amen? Our obsession ought to be, I ought to be obsessed with being a better dad. I ought to be obsessed with being a better husband. I ought to be obsessed with being a better soul winner, a better pastor. Those things ought to just obsess me. My prayer life. My likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things ought to obsess my life. But this stuff we're getting into tonight should not become your obsession. Now, all that said, this is some neat stuff. And it's neat because as a believer, I know what I believe and why. I know what's going to happen in the future. And as I study some very, very, very difficult passages of Scripture, if I study those passages prayerfully, God can give me light on things and understanding from the Scriptures on things that it just gets exciting. And I don't know what it is about it, but my spirit inside of me starts stirring up. And what it does, I hope it does to you what it does to me. It makes me start wanting to study the Bible more. It makes me excited about the fact that that book I got in front of me is the words of Almighty God. He created the planets. He gave me life. And He's going to wrap it up the way He wants it wrapped up in the end. And He's got all the answers right there in that book. Ain't that amazing, man? It's just amazing. So what you got here is the beast, and we'll start diving into this thing, and I want to try to move, Lord willing, through the whole chapter tonight, but don't panic if you look at the clock and it's like, oh my goodness, it's 10 of already, and we're only 3 verses in. Relax, I'll cut it off, and we'll pick it up next week, but I'm hoping to get the whole chapter done. Revelation chapter 13, let's just read the first 2 verses, and then we'll dive in. And I stood upon the sea of sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your words. I thank you for, Lord, the perfection of the Bible I hold in my hands, the King James Bible. I believe that with all my heart. And Lord, I like something that I read this week. It doesn't matter what the Bible teaches. It doesn't matter what the Bible means, because men can make it teach and make it mean whatever they want. It matters what the Bible says. And I like that, Lord. Sometimes the Bible says something and I don't understand what it's trying to teach, but I know that what it says is right. And I pray tonight you'd strengthen our faith in the words of God, that you'd help us as a people to just focus on what the Bible says, and that then, Father, your Holy Spirit would teach us the Scriptures. That as we focus on what you said, we would learn, and that we would grow. I pray that you give us great peace in our hearts as we study this subject and look at this beast. Lord, our focus here is always, ought to be, in an effort to always be on Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that we're supposed to be wise about good things and simple concerning evil things. So I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we look into your word tonight and teach through your word. We know it's not harmful to us because it's your word. But I pray you'd help us to keep our spirits right, our hearts right, our minds right. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move through this room and, And Lord, speak to each and every heart and open our eyes. Help us to understand this stuff. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to keep the right balance. Lord, I pray you'd use this to just stir up a love for the Word of God in your people's hearts. And I ask you to strengthen our church, Lord. Bless us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to put the unpleasantries aside, to trust you to meet our needs. And Lord, we know that you will, you always have. We thank you for that. Now bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 13 can get a little sticky. It can be kind of confusing. And there's all kinds of stuff taught. One of the best things you can do is throw away 99% of your commentaries and just forget them and open up the Bible and start studying with a prayerful heart. The more you study the commentaries or research what people say about this stuff, the more confused you're going to get. You're going to get so twisted up, you can't figure this thing out. Excuse me. You can't figure this thing out to save your life. But Revelation chapter 13 is really not that difficult when you compare it with other scriptures. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Now, let me say this before I start. We're getting into stuff here that's really bigger than us. Is that fair to say? It's real big. How many of you have seen the spirit world? Please don't raise your hand if you have. Amen. All right, look, this thing is bigger than us, right? And a lot of the Bible tells us the book of Daniel is sealed up. A lot of the Bible, God sealed up and God will open it when he's ready. So I do believe there are some passages of scripture that you and I just aren't going to make sense of until we sit at the feet of Jesus in the millennial kingdom and he starts teaching us the Bible, and that's going to happen. Amen. That'll be great. In the meanwhile, we can learn some things. I also believe this, as we get closer to the end, it's very likely that God will start showing us things in the Bible that are there, not changing doctrine, but showing us things we hadn't noticed before. I think God can do that. And I'm excited about this because it's pretty clear to me. First of all, notice this beast in Revelation 13:1. He says he rises up out of the sea, first of all, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, him rising up out of the sea is important because we saw in Revelation 12, I talked to you about the 5 demotions of the devil, right? The 5 I wills and the 5 demotions God is going to give him as God defeats him. That last one is when, I think it was number 4, was when God casts him to the earth. So he's out of outer space, he's pushed down to the earth, and he comes out in Revelation 12 with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Are you with me? It's interesting now that he comes up out of the sea. This sea is not the sea above outer space. This sea is the sea on this earth. More than likely, he's standing on the shores here of the Mediterranean. And more than likely, this beast is coming up there and he's seeing this thing. Now, don't forget this. You and I are back in chapter 4. Amen. We're in heaven at this point. So I want, especially the young children that some of them are getting older and starting to pay attention to understand. I don't want you going home not able to sleep because you're paranoid about the devil. You need to forget that. Amen? Jesus Christ took care of him. If you're saved, you're in Christ. He can't touch you. Your soul is secure. You have eternal security in Jesus Christ. What we're looking at tonight and what is going to happen is in the future, understand that, after the church is gone. So what you're reading right now, you'll one day see, but you will see it from the safety and security of heaven. Praise the Lord. That's exciting for the believer. For the New Testament Christian, that's great stuff. Now, let's get going here. I want to get through this thing. Look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. All right, so the beast is like a leopard. But notice the different facets of this beast. His feet are as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 7. Keep your finger here in Revelation 13 because we'll be back. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. For the sake of time, we'll start reading in verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night. That's important. We'll circle back to that in a little bit. And behold, the 4 winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion. All right, so the first beast you have coming up in Daniel is a lion. All right, that's verse 4. Notice about this lion, and had eagle's wings. Now, that also is very interesting. Do you remember the symbol for ancient Rome was an eagle? kind of interesting. Now, wait a minute. We'll come back. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, this beast gets a man's heart. Very weird. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear. So the second beast you have is a bear, or like unto a bear. All right? Now watch. It raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. The third beast is a leopard. Now, that's L-E-O-P-A. I can spell most of the time. All right, so now, Daniel 7 is showing you these beasts divided up. Revelation 13 shows you that beast in one. And it shows you the different feet, the different body, the different... Here's the interesting thing. In Revelation 13, the dragon gave the beast its power, right? These beasts here represent kings that come up. You guys remember a nation that represents a lion? You're a Richard the what? Lionhearted, right? What nation represents a bear? Russia. What nation represents a leopard? You guys ever hear of the melting pot of nations? It's you and me, guys. You know what's real interesting about this thing? All three of these are predators. All three of these animals will reach up as far as they can and they'll star a tree. They'll mark a tree. Well, what are trees a type of in the Bible? They're a type of men. All three of these beasts come up for a purpose. Now remember, Satan got knocked to the earth, right? These beasts rise up for a purpose. What's the purpose? He has a seat and power and authority he's giving to them. The devil's going to use them for his purpose. These beasts represent a king and a kingdom, but he gives them a heart of a man. That's very interesting. So there's kings here that get their power from the devil. Well, does that not remind you of, Luke 4, I think it is. We'll get to it in a little bit, where he said, all the nations of the world, I give it to whomsoever I will. Is that what the devil said? So up come these beasts, rising up, and they're just strange beasts coming up out of the water. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings. We already read that. I'm sorry. Dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. I've told you before, iron's a type of devils and demonic spirits in the Bible, right? It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked by the root, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. All right, now go back to Revelation 13. This beast in verse 2 comes up. It's like a leopard. It has feet of a bear, as the mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gives him his power and his seat and great authority. Look at verse 13. This is so neat. Having 7 heads, and interestingly enough, 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Here's the strange thing. And I'm not gonna run all these references or take all the time to spell this out. I'll just throw it out there to you quickly. Going all the way back into the Old Testament, if you ran the major kingdoms of the world, you know how many you get? 7. You know where the 7th one lands? On Rome. All the major powers of the world, up to that point, there's 7 heads on that beast. And it stops at Rome. But it's weird because it says he's got 10 horns. Now, You got seven kingdoms coming to Rome. And what happens when Rome is in power? Isn't that the time when Christ dies? Right? So Jesus Christ dies and a testament changes. So all of a sudden, things have gone from a literal visible people, a nation where God is working, to a spiritual church, right? Some people say, I don't believe in the universal church. Well, you don't have to believe in it. It's still true. I believe in the local church. I'm a very local church. I wouldn't have started a local church if I wasn't a local church guy, okay? I believe in the local church. But there is also a universal church. And that is everybody who's born again, everywhere they're at on the planet, and it's a spiritual thing. The kingdom changes, and it becomes more of a spiritual kingdom. Rome gets in power around that time, and you want to know really who's still in power? Rome. Strangely enough, there are three nations since then that you can look back at since Rome, and you can see that they've been superpowers that have ruled the world. England, Russia, and the USA. They've shook things up. Well, you got seven kingdoms, and then you add in these three, that gives you a 10. So I'm just making the point to you, and you can dissect this thing 1,000 ways, all right? I don't want to stand around and argue about this stuff after church. But I'm just telling you, the symbolism is clearly there. You say, I just don't understand why God would let... Why are you blaming God when He is not the God of this world right now? He's the Creator. He's the high and lofty one. He's almighty. He's going to wrap it up. But who's the God of this world? Satan is, isn't he? And he said, Jesus Christ, whomsoever I will, I give it. Isn't that interesting? You know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not against voting and Christians getting involved in politics. I'm not against it. But I just sometimes laugh. I really do. And I want you to go vote. I want to keep our freedoms as long as we can. Vote for the lesser of two evils, blah, 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 all that stuff, all right? But look, I just laugh. I say, you guys, it's hysterical. If the church is not busy soul winning, trying to reach lost people for Jesus Christ, studying their Bibles, growing in the Lord, doing right, what makes us think God is going to let us influence politics? When God gave us our marching orders, which are spiritual, you want to influence the world, you want to change the world, preach Christ. Win a soul. And teach that soul to win a soul. That's the only way we're going to make a difference in our generation. Because the devil is running this show. You got that, right? That's the beautiful thing about getting saved. All of a sudden now, you get involved with Almighty God. And Almighty God now begins to control your life if you'll let Him. And now begins to lead you if you'll follow His words. And now begins to protect you and take care. Isn't it great to be saved? Up until then, you were a human nature floating around in the world with the devil running the show. That's a mess. So these kingdoms, first of all, look at Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. And look at verse number 1. Isaiah 27:1. Oh, it's right here. I was looking for a napkin and they were a step ahead of me. Whoever you are, you guys are a blessing. All right. In that day, the Lord with His sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. It's hysterical to me when the commentaries and the theologians all try to say that's a crocodile. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. Folks, they don't have a clue. I'm not trying to be mean or arrogant. God knows that. I'm really not. They don't have a clue. You know why? They don't have a perfect book. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes, if you don't have a King James Bible, you say, oh, you're crazy. Call me crazy if you want. I'm going to show you in a few minutes, if you don't have a King James Bible, you cannot figure this stuff out. The new Bibles wipe out. Not only do they attack Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, but they wipe out your cross references to find out who the beast is and who the devil is. How many of you realize that true Satanists don't really believe in a real personal Satan? You know that, don't you? They're humanists. True Satanists believe that, you know, gratify the flesh, gratify self. Ever since they bow and worship the devil and all this silly stuff, most of them don't even really believe in a true devil. You know what the devil wants? He wants you to not think about Him, not know He's there, not recognize Him. He would have the power to show the whole world who He is if He wanted to. What makes us think He couldn't step up right now and just get the world attention, say, here I am and I'm the devil? He doesn't work that way. He tries to cover himself over and hide himself and transform himself into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. You to think he's Christ. He wants that worship. That's how he works. So this Leviathan, even Leviathan, that wicked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. I showed you before, and for the sake of time, we're not going to run the references right now. But I showed you how God is going to actually take that sword, smack one of those heads of Leviathan, and feed the children of Israel in the wilderness with his head, right? He's going to get wounded, isn't he? And wounded in the head. Now, that we'll come back to that in a little bit. Keep that in your memory bank. Look at Psalm 104. Psalm chapter number 104. And look at verse 26. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. Interesting, huh? Well, this is where the guys that don't understand a lot of the Bible say, well, that sea can't be above outer space between us and God. That's not that water is divided from the waters. And I showed you that Genesis chapter 1:1, Genesis chapter 1:2, and that whole gap thing. The waters that, no, see the sea. Look, Leviathan here. You guys, Leviathan's not always in the same sea. Now he's up there. The time's coming when he's going to be in the sea down here. And the Lord lays that stuff out for you in the Bible. So this beast is coming up out of the sea. And in Psalms 74, look at it real quick. Psalm 74:14. We're there in Psalms already, so it won't take too long to get there. Psalm 74:14. I'm talking fast because I want to get to some stuff here. There it is. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So God wounds one of those heads of that serpent. He just cracks him up and feeds him to his people. Swing by Luke chapter 4 on your way back to Revelation. Stop by Luke chapter 4. I made mention of this to you, but I want you to read it. Luke 4, look at verses 5 and 6. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, what did we see in Revelation 13? He gives them what? Power. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. You wonder why dictators that become world conquerors lose their mind? They're like the ultimate of egomaniacs. Truly. You can study on cult leaders and you find out almost every cult leader has a major ego problem. Psychologists love studying those guys. They got a major ego problem. You realize that these world dictators are egomaniacs. They are power hungry. Why? Because they become possessed of the devil. And they just become consumed with conquering, with winning, with being all there is to be. The devil gives them the glory. And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. What does he want? If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to the Creator. He was talking to Jesus Christ, trying to tempt him with that power. So when these beasts rise up back in Revelation chapter 13, they're given power. So that beast coming out there in Revelation 13 is got the same characteristics about it as the beast in Daniel chapter 7. The beasts in Daniel chapter 7. Now look at Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. What did I just show you? Psalm 74. Right? God wounds him. And we know that one of those heads was used to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. This is very strange. The bear, Russia, I showed you that a minute ago. I was doing some research on them today. You guys realize economically where they're positioned? The natural resources Russia has, Their national economy is doing great when the rest of the world is panicking. Isn't that interesting? And their national symbol is the bear. They take it seriously. And so seriously that at some of the major world events, they kind of, somebody said they used like a teddy bear or something to try to cushion the whole effect of the mean Russia bear. Ain't that interesting? So this beast has got the feet of a bear. He moves like Russia. You know what that is? That's one world economy, isn't it? Socialism, right? But that same beast, interestingly enough, is a leper. Well, what's that? Integration. This guy's got to be able to reach everybody on the planet and connect to all races. He's going to bring everybody together, right? Well, that's the U.S. That's what we are. We're a melting pot of nations. Almost everybody you bump into in the U.S. is, what are you? I mean, I am literally, me personally, I am Irish, I'm Scotch, I think there's some English in there, and I'm Italian. But I'm not just pure Italian, I'm half Sicilian. My mom's half Sicilian and half Northern Italian, and there's a big difference, just ask them. You talk to a Sicilian and talk to a Northern Italian, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, there's like racism between them. Or, you know, we're all a melting pot. How many of you are 100% pure? 100% pure blood? Anybody? If somebody was in this room, they would have their hand up. They would know it. I'm a Jew. Right? And you say, well, really? You got anything else in there? Well, there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Everybody's, you know, I'm 1/32nd American Indian Cherokee, Black Cherokee. Yeah, that's why I'm so stealthy. It's silly, man. You know what we are? We're just a melting pot of nations. That's the leopard. He's got a white belly. He's got a yellowish skin that's Asian, white that's European, and the leopard, and we're going to come back to this, it's important. The leopard has black spots. Hamite, African. England. Now notice what's really interesting about this in verse 2. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. You know what's interesting about that? A lot is said about what he speaks. Speaking words of blasphemy. What is the universal language? Isn't that strange? So really what you got right there in those three nations, you've already got everything set up, really, for the coming of the Antichrist, for the falling of the devil, for the wrapping up of this thing. It's probably going to be those three Gentile nations that are pretty much in the driver's seat as you're moving into the tribulation period. Are you following me? This beast coming up has power. And he's bringing them all together. Now, notice in Daniel 7, I hope you mark that spot. If not, please mark it because we'll go back there. This is really an interesting statement here. Daniel chapter 7. So you say, well, America's a superpower. Well, I realize that. And I do believe God's blessed us tremendously, don't you? I think God's used us tremendously. But don't forget who gives power and authority in this world. So, you know, your love for Jesus Christ ought to surpass your patriotism, and I think you should be patriotic. I told you before, I believe I would bleed and die for my country. I believe I would. I love my country. But not as much as I love my family, and not as much as I love my Savior. Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. This is important. And I saw in my vision by night. By night. Is every word of God pure? Right? So nothing in it is coincidental. What we're going to do is this. Look at Daniel 7:13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, praise the Lord for that, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That by night is interesting. Brother Anthony, would you grab Matthew 5:14? Brother Josh, John 8:12. Brother Rob, John 9:5. Pastor Chad, Romans 13:12. Brother Dave D., I'm going to come back to you in a minute. Don't let me forget. It's 1 Corinthians 13, brother. I think it's the last verse, if you grab that. Daniel, would you grab 1 Thessalonians 5? And you're going to be looking at, you know what? I'm going to read that. You grab 2 Peter 1:19. I'm going to do 1 Thessalonians 5. Everybody else, if you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to let these guys read off their verses for the sake of time. And we'll keep moving. 1 Thessalonians 5. All right, Brother Anthony, you go ahead and start, brother. You're in Matthew 5:14. Now watch. Now listen as he reads. Read loud, please.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
All right, you are the light of the world, right? Brother Josh.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
All right, so when Jesus was here, who was the light? Jesus. Who's the light when he's gone? We are. That moon that you saw driving in tonight, it's reflecting the light of the sun into a dark world. That's the church. Brother Rob.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
That's it right there. Jesus was the light while he was here. What about when he left? Brother Anthony's, you're the light of the world. Pastor Ted.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light.
That's it. Brother Dave, yours is verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. You know what you're seeing? Is that it? I'm sorry, that was the part I was looking for. You're good. So right now, you see darkly, right? What do you got so far? So far, we got the light of the world is Christ when he was here. He's gone. We're left as the light. And we're cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We see through a glass darkly. Who is next? Were you next, Daniel? You were next, Daniel. 2 Peter 1:19. Now, what did that just say? We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You reading your Bible? God said you're doing well. You taking heed to what you read? God said you're doing well. I just don't know if I'm pleasing the Lord, and I need to set the world on fire. I need to sell my house and move to Africa. If you're staying in this book and taking heed to this book, God said you're doing good as a light that shineth in a dark place until stay in your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible. You'll learn more every year by the grace of God. I mean, you'll grow and you'll see things you didn't see before. Stay in that book until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's our rapture. Amen. Now, we're all in 1 Thessalonians 5, right? Watch verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. As a thief when? Are you guys getting a picture of where we're at? Where are we? We're in darkness, aren't we? So the dispensation of the church, the dispensation of grace, could also be called the dispensation of what? You say, why are you excited about that? Do I look excited? I am excited about that. You know why? Because I met the light of the world. I know the light of the world. He sparked a little bit of fire in my heart, a little bit of fire in my life. He made me excited because I got to know the one that created me. And that fires me up just a little bit. And when I realize that darkness runs from light, that makes me feel pretty powerful. Yeah, it makes that sign that we got on the billboard, billboard sign we got on the highway mean just a little bit more to me. That's exciting, man. No, we are. We're lights in a dark world. And so not everything you're going to have the answers to because it is dark out there. But you got to take heed to that word. You got to stay in the Bible. You got to study the Bible because it'll bring light to you in the darkness. We walk by faith, not by sight. So that's just part of what God expects of us at this time. Do you realize now listen and pay attention to this, please. Do you realize now why God seems to have made it so easy for us? Are you following me? Kind of like this, like if I, Pastor Chad tells the illustration all the time of a preacher, he knows that the guy said, if I believed in eternal security, I would resign my church. Am I quoting it right? Something like that. He said, I would resign my church today. Because he can't grasp the concept that God would give you salvation if you ask for it and never take it back from you. And then if you notice the passages about the judgment seat of Christ, which, by the way, in Revelation 13, that's where we're at. The judgment may be over already, and we're probably into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Something like that. But we're up there having a great time. You say, well, all I ever did was get saved. The Bible says, every man shall have his praise of God. That is really outstanding of a statement. Because I know some people that got saved and never produced fruit for the Lord. Some of my converts are in Oakland County Jail right now, more than likely on their way to prison. Some of my converts right now are drunk and high and running from the cops with warrants out for their arrest. I have some felon converts that are running the state. Running from the state to get away. That's some of my converts. That gets a little bit discouraging. They're not running the state. Yes. Well, you know, anyway, I'll just leave that go. There may have been some inspiration there, folks. They're running from the state to get away from their warrants. Yeah, that gets a little discouraging. I'll be honest with you. That does discourage me. But then I realized the fact that that person got saved and God allowed me to lead them to Christ is not a little thing. Because when you trusted God's Son as your Savior, you did something God will reward you for when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ. Because that's big to the Lord. So you guys realize, you say, well, how come it's so much easier for us than it ever has been or ever will be? Because God knows you're walking in darkness. And He says, hey, blessed is he. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Who not seeing believes. Is that you today? You believe in Jesus Christ? You believe His words? Have you been saved? God said you're blessed. God's going to reward you, man. Well, I'm not the soul winner I should be. I'm not the preacher I should be. I'm not as sold out as I should be. I'm not the theologian I should be. I know, but do you bring the preacher a cup of water with the right heart? You just laid up treasures in heaven. You see, God has dropped the bar for us, folks. So do whatever you do with joy in your heart that you're laying up treasures in heaven. You're pleasing the Lord. I mean, praise God for that. Amen? You're staying faithful to your spouse? Well, I'm not perfect. Well, your spouse isn't either. So, you know, come to me. I'll give you a list. Amen? Of your spouse, not mine. Right? But you're doing your best. You know, God does lower the bar for us. Ain't that kind of cool? I mean, I'm thankful for that. Now, that doesn't mean I just sit back and say, oh, let's go to the bar. Praise the Lord. You know, God lowered the bar for us. I'll see you guys over there at the tavern. Not a chance. Because I showed you Sunday morning that God judges His children while they're here, right? Amen. And I want to lay up some good stuff up there. I really do. And I've taught you over and over again about the millennial kingdom and how much we will get there based on what we do here. And on it goes. But I'm just trying to say at the same time, some people get under this oppression. I haven't done enough. I started too late in life. I don't have the gifts. Relax. Every man's going to have his praise of God. Just do your best where you're at. That's neat. We're in the darkness. Now, that's enough on that. Let's move on. I could keep going on that forever. Let's go back to Revelation 13 and look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Interesting. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So that's 3.5 years, right? Now watch verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, stop there for a minute. What I just read to you was the unholy trinity. Now, you got the dragon. Okay? He represents, or he's a type of, a copycat of, the Father. He's the intellect, your soul. The intellect, the emotions, and the will. Who is the willpower behind this? The dragon, Satan, right? He's the willpower behind this. His five I wills, I showed you that. His I will ascend above God. So he's the willpower. He represents the Father who sits back unseen to the naked eye, right? He sits back and controls things. Isn't that what happened with God the Father? But his Son, Jesus Christ, came and was took on the form of the flesh. That's the beast. So the beast would represent the flesh. He came. They see him. They worship him, but they're really worshiping the dragon. Now, the unholy prophet is going to show up next. The unholy spirit. He's a type of the spirit. He's a false prophet. That beast is a man. He showed you he gave him a heart. The heart of a man. It's a man. It's the mystery of iniquity is what I'm showing you here. So what the devil has, God has a holy trinity. The devil has an unholy trinity. Now, let's move on. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So somebody steps on the scene with power, all the power that the first beast has, and gets everybody to start worshiping that one again that was killed, that was slain. Watch. Keep reading. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, by the means of whose miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So he says, all right, let's create an image to this beast that was slain, that was killed, but came back. Let's build an image here. And then he has the power to actually, not only is he bringing down fire and creating all these miracles, this religious leader, very obviously, because he's working miracles. He's got the power of the Spirit working miracles. Folks, this is why the Pentecostal movement coming up shortly before the rapture is crucial and key to understand. It is not of God. Going on and on about signs and miracles and wonders and tongues. And I'm going to show you that on Sunday morning shortly, where their usefulness and point was and why they're gone. They have a resurrection here towards the end of the church age. Why? Because they preach the same Jesus Christ you and I preach. So when the false Christ comes working those same miracles, people go, oh yeah, this is him. It serves to deceive a certain portion of the population that's still there. And not only that, but I mean, look, miracles are all through the Bible. So he comes in doing miracles and people are going, wow. And he says, let's create an image of a beast, the image to the beast, and let's worship that thing. And then he invokes life into that beast and that image starts speaking. Whew. There's some heavy stuff going on. Now watch this. Verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand, in their right hand, or in their foreheads. So you have an option. You can get the mark in your hand or in your forehead. That's the options. So we talk, everybody goes on and on, and I'm going to show you this about the mark of the beast. Maybe you guys got 10 more minutes? Are we okay? I'm sorry. I don't want to wear you out. I really don't want to. I'm trying to preach shorter, but it's so hard to cover this stuff and keep moving in any less than what I do it in. All right. So hand on the forehead. All right. Now stay with me. This is very interesting, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. First of all, wait, before I'm commenting on that. No man. I showed you that before, didn't I? You read through Lamentations and you see seven women taking hold of one man saying, just let us have your name. Why? Because it looks like in the tribulation period, I showed you the passage in Daniel, the Antichrist has no desire of women. He could care less for women. He's more than likely funny. Okay? He has no desire of women. I'm not kidding. That's why there's a rise in this stuff at the end. God hates it. It's an abomination. God burned Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven for it. Okay? Are you with me? So everything that God is, he hates. Everything God hates, he loves. So he's more than likely a silly boy, and he comes along, no desire of women. He will give the mark to the men. The men can buy and sell. Women can't. So when you read through Lamentations, and it's the lamentations of God's people lamenting their situation, and it says eight women take hold of one man saying, just let us take your name. We'll even provide our own clothing. Let us take your name. It's because they're starving. Israel's starving in the tribulation period, and the women need the men to get food. Are you following me? You read through the Old Testament, and you just see this stuff, and you're like, oh, well, I wonder what that means. Oh, yeah, okay. And man, this is an amazing book you're reading. You got to study this stuff out. So, move on. The mark. Now, here's the interesting thing. Say if he had the mark or what? Or the name. Or what? Or the number. You know what everybody says the mark of the beast is? Say it. Come on. Is that what the Bible says? What's 666? It's the number, isn't it? So you got three options. You can take you got five, really. Head or hand. Mark, name, or number. Ain't that weird? I honestly think it's more than likely a social stratus. More than likely, people are divided up into three categories. And that's just my opinion. I don't have a whole lot to back that up, but that's just my, I'm just throwing that out to you. Now, verse 18 is key. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding, I knew that didn't make sense. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. That beast is a man. And his number is 666. Now, I'm going to skip a couple things here. Just give me one second to look this over, and I want to hit the point good and let you go. Go to Ezra 9. We're going to look, it's not Ezra, Ezekiel 9. What I want to do here is I want to show you, first of all, what the mark is. And I think it's pretty clear. Ezekiel chapter 9. And I already pointed it out to you earlier. If you caught it, some of you might have caught it. Just give me one second to look here. I wrote down the chapter, but I didn't write down the verse. There it is, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of the Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. But look at the end of verse 3. He had a writer's inkhorn by his side. So when God puts a mark out, what have we seen? The devil always copycats what the Lord does, right? When God marks his 144,000, he does it with an inkhorn. It's a spot. Interesting, this rise, the more heathen a nation becomes, the more of a rise in tattoos. Now look, we got people in our church that have tattoos. Relax, okay? Please don't be like, you know what that is? I mean, I will stink and strangle you, amen? I go out there, work hard trying to reach people and talk to lots of, and then get one or two to come in after talking a bunch and billboard sign and everything, and somebody comes up and, oh, did you see their tattoos? Oh man, good night, people. Okay? Amen. Ain't no big deal. Leave it go. As far as our kids are concerned, that's different. We start the youth group. If one of them thinks about it, men will figure out what to do. Amen. I won't say it. I'm recorded. If it ever happened, no, just kidding. It's not acceptable, all right? But listen, it's the culture you live in, so reach them anyways and overlook that stuff. But there's a rise in that thing, unbelievably. Why? It's a tattooing thing. I told you earlier those predatorial beasts mark the tree, and the tree's a type of the human, so that marking of the body is not really from the Lord. Amen. There's all kinds of that kind of stuff going on, and I could stop here and preach forever, and I'm not going to. But people are just manipulating their bodies like crazy nowadays, and God knew how He made you. If you don't like it, deal with it. Amen. That's what my dad told me. My dad's 6'2". And he told me years ago, he said, God made you short. He wants you short. There's nothing you can do about it, so accept it. I'm sick of hearing about it. Amen. And I said, you're right, Dad. But I'm still short. All right, Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah 13, we're looking at the mark. Look at verse 23. J- Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You know what the mark is, folks? It's a black spot. And I got a lot I could show you on that, and I won't. And some of it is so politically incorrect, it would probably offend people. But the truth of the matter is that when God has marked a man, or when somebody is marked in a negative way, they get a black spot. You see all that thing behind the eight ball? You got the pirates to give them a black spot if they were going to kill them. That stuff is still common today as far as just the terminology we use. That black spot is the mark. That's the mark of the leopard. That word leopard sounds an awful lot like leper, doesn't it? And I'll tie that in for you in a second. But what's a leper get? He gets spots on his flesh, right? His flesh starts rotting. Now, you already know the number, so I'm not going to run those references with you, but that's 666, right? You got the number of a man three times. That's a trinity there. 6 plus 6 plus 6 is what? A math whiz is 6 plus 6 plus 6 is... What's the number of rebellion? Where do you find the number spelled out? Revelation 13, the devil's number, rebellion, 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6. They tell you the chapter and verse markings aren't inspired. They just don't study. And it does not take a Greek or a Hebrew. I did not learn. I took the Greek classes. I didn't learn any of this in Greek. They just don't study. You know what's interesting? What's today? Isn't today Ash Wednesday? You know what the Romans do? I showed you that's that last kingdom that's still in power. That number seven head with, you had three horns on that thing, and you got the total number of 10 coming up being the Gentile numbers. You got those three kingdoms kind of split up. Interesting stuff, isn't it? And the Romans mark their head with a black spot on Ash Wednesday. You know what they're talking about? You know it's 40 days till 40 days of Lent, right? What's it all about? What's the culmination of it? Okay, but it's the Lord's rising, right? From the dead. The true Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Isn't that strange? Now, this is crazy. What's his name? Does anybody know the name? I think we can find it. And I wouldn't argue with you about this, but I find it interesting. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 12. Proverbs 28:12. Pastor Chad, would you mind reading that for me, please, sir?
When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, man is hid.
Now that wicked rise, every word of God is pure, right? Right? Wicked rise. Proverbs 28:12. 28 plus 12 is 40, right? Go to Ezra chapter 2, verse 13. And Pastor Chad, would you just go ahead and read that again, please? Ezra 2, 13. It's all right. It's in the Old Testament, my friend. Yes, sir. 2:13. Brother Josh, would you grab, we're crunched on time here. While we're reading that, would you grab Nehemiah 7, 18, please? All right, that's the second time in your Bible the number 666 shows up. The first time was in 1 Kings in reference to Solomon's riches, his gold. Who's Solomon a type of? The Antichrist, right? And the first time it shows up, it's 666, Solomon's gold. The second time it shows up, it's the children of Adonai. Oh, I need more room. Adonijah, I'll get it in a minute. Okay, Brother Josh. All right, now wait a minute. Last time it said 666, this time it says 667. And people say, see, there's an error in the Bible. It's talking about the same thing. First of all, 80 years has passed. And I'm not going to get into the arguments with you. It's perfect that the way it is. I don't have time to chase that down right now. Second of all, something is being showed you because it says Adonikim again there, right? And it's 667 instead of 666. You know what his name is? And here's what I wanted to show you. Proverbs 28:12, the wicked rise. Now, Revelation 13:18, 13 number rebellion, 18666. The number herein is wisdom, right? In Revelation 13:18. He that hath wisdom. Well, you go to the wisdom book, because he's telling you, he tells you, gives you, he tips you off in Revelation. Herein is wisdom, he that hath wisdom, or however it's worded, right? So go to the wisdom books. Proverbs 28:12, when the wicked rise. 28:12 is 40. Ezra 2:13, 2 and 13 is 15. Nehemiah 7:18, 7 and 18 is 25. You once again come down to 40. You realize those chapter and verse markings are cross references? That's all I'm trying to show you. That's all I wanted to make. The only point I wanted to make there is those are cross references because God is trying to show you something, but you got to study the Bible to get this stuff. It's crazy. Now watch. The name Adonikim. You know what it means? How many of you have heard lately in the religious buzz of the world, Adonai, Adonai, all these silly goofballs nowadays. I don't know what they're talking about. Adonai. You know what Adonai means? It's Lord, isn't it? No problem there. Cam rises. When the wicked rise. You know what his name is? Adonikim. You know what he's doing? He got slain, didn't he? The man was killed. When they rose him up, everybody's worshiping him, thinking he is Christ, risen from the dead. He's going to go into that temple and sit him down and self down as though he's Christ, because Satan has seat and has a power. And he gets raised from the dead, but all they really do is raise the clay. It's not really him. So the first time it's 666, the second time it's 667. One was added in Nehemiah to show you the spirit inside that thing was not the same spirit as before. He was a man who was risen to power, who got slain, who they rose back up, wounded. Zechariah shows you his right eye. I think it's his right eye and his right arm. He gets wounded in the head. Some powerful stuff. Adonikim. You know what's really strange? And I showed you this a while ago. And I'm done with this. I showed you this a while ago. You remember Judas Iscariot? He was a man, right? Satan entered into him, right? Jesus said, one of you is a devil. Speaking about Judas, right? Judas Iscariot. What do you got? You got 13 letters. What's 13 the number of? I-S-C-A-R-I-O-T, I think it is, something like that. There's 13 total if it's spelled right. I think that's right. All right, now. I showed you Judas turned on the Lord. Why did he turn? Well, it looks like he turned because he's the son of Simon. I said 10 and I'm at 13. Give me two more. It said he's the son of Simon, right? He was close to the Lord, wasn't he? Judas, he was one of the 12. When Jesus was looking for a place to meet, I forget exactly the context. You can look it up later. He went into the house of Simon the leper. So this man, whoever this Simon was close enough to the Lord and had connections enough to where somebody knew him, and they used Simon the leper's house. So it looks like, and I'm pretty convinced personally, but take it or leave it, it looks like Judas's dad was a leper. He was Simon the leper. And Jesus did not heal Judas's dad. Here Judas is running around with the miracle worker, following Jesus Christ. And he's not healing my stinking dad! You know what he did? He got bitter. He was a man. The Bible tells you he was a man. But he was a devil. He got bitter. And at some point, the devil took over that spirit. And then at another point, Satan enters into him and he kisses Jesus Christ and betrays the Son of Man with a kiss. Be careful about getting bitter towards the Lord because things happen that aren't fair to you or don't make sense. He's healing everybody else and he won't heal my own dad. So interestingly enough, Simon being a very common name. Simon the what? There's a leopard over there with a spot. It's the mark of this guy. He's got a name. He's got a mark. It's a black spot. It's the leprosy of sin, folks. He's got a number. It's 666. It's the number of a man. He's got a name, and it's probably
Simon Adonikim.
The leper Lord rising. That's probably him. And so you want to eat in the tribulation period? You can take the spot, you can take the number, or you can take the name. Ain't that wild stuff? And you read through Proverbs and you never notice when the wicked rise. And you say, well, I'm not sure about the chapter and verse markings. And God says, this is my book. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it, lest I reprove you and you be found a liar. Amen. What a powerful book. You know what I like about Revelation 13, and we're done with this. My favorite part, and I want to end on this note, so let's go back there. I'd like all eyeballs to look at it. I'm sorry, it's from 14:1. I don't want to end with the focus being on this guy. 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and a voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. All the meanwhile, in heaven, you and I are standing there and we're looking at that thing and we're rejoicing and God has it all under control. Ain't that great? So while the mess is going on the earth, we're up there and we're standing there watching and we're in the hands of God. Good to be saved. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to take me up. He already rose from the dead. I'm not black dotting my forehead looking forward to the Lord rising. You guys getting the picture of who that Antichrist is probably going to be? That man of sin? It's that Pope. Isn't that interesting? When he stepped down, the lightning struck the... Isn't that... First time in 600 years he stepped down. Now, the next guy that shows up, if he's young enough, he probably is the one. He's probably the one. Yes, sir. He might be. That would interest me if that happens. Folks, the time is short. Ain't that interesting? Now, you watch. If he's a younger guy... Younger, I mean 60 or down. No. Okay. And I didn't even know that. And then black? Whew. Guys, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let's get some more billboard signs out there. Amen. Let's grab some tracks. Let's be that light shining. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. I ask you to help us, Lord, to leave here looking for Jesus Christ. Excited about being saved, excited about being a light in this world. And Father, we know that even if we study and don't understand things, you got it all under control. And we just cannot wait, Lord. We can't wait to sit at your feet and learn some Bible. We love you. Help us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.